Hi, this is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to our midweek Bible study. Tonight, we're going to look at Hebrews 13 and some closing words that the author of Hebrews gave to the church. Before we study the Bible, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Tonight, we want to continue to be in prayer for Miss Lois and Joe. Miss Lois got to go home from the hospital, but she's facing a lot of health challenges, and she wants us to pray for healing. We also pray for Pastor Austin Gardner, who's in the ICU in Atlanta, battling COVID-19. We also pray for Pastor Mohan, who's fighting cancer. We want to pray for all our members, our shut-ins, and all those who are attending our in-person services tonight. We have members that are sick and members that are facing different health challenges and cancer and other things, and so we want to pray for them. And we have relatives of members that are facing those things, and so we want to be in prayer for them. We also want to pray for all those listening in different countries around the world that God would bless them and their churches. Not everyone is able to meet at church, and we pray for those who cannot meet. As we are able to meet, and not everyone feels comfortable attending our in-person services, and that's fine. And so we want to pray for everybody. We want to pray for all those dealing with the coronavirus, those trying to find cures for it, those trying to find a vaccine, and those that are researching trying to find therapeutics. Brother Austin Gardner was given the experimental drug remdesivir, and so he seems to be getting better and improving. So we want to pray for just all those who are trying to find therapeutics and those that are working, the frontline workers during this disease. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. We do pray for all our members. We pray for Miss Lois. We pray for Joe. We pray for others who have made prayer requests, for those who are sick, for family members who are sick of our members. We pray for Steve and Cindy and for Andy, and we pray for Jimmy and Jan and the requests that they made, and we pray for Miss Althea, and we pray that you'd help her to feel better, and we just pray for all our shut-ins. We pray for Miss Virginia, Miss Dot. We pray that you would bless and help our church, and we pray for Brother Austin Gardner, and we pray that you'd heal him. We thank you for the work you're doing to heal his body, and we do pray for Pastor Mohan, and we pray that you would heal him. We pray that you would heal Miss Lois. We pray that you would give guidance to doctors and nurses and all those fighting COVID-19. We pray that you would just give healing and give help. And we ask it that you would bless all those churches who are meeting and all those churches not able to meet. We pray you bless all those listening to this broadcast. Pray that we would get what you have for us tonight. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Closing Words from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 19. And this message won't have an outline like most of our messages, but this is just a collection of closing statements and thoughts, and we'll read those and teach on them. So the first one is, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, let brotherly love continue. So Paul said, if we have everything and do not have love, we have nothing at all in 1 Corinthians 13. So love, if it doesn't continue anywhere, it ought to continue in the church. And especially right now, as many churches are not able to meet in person, it's very important that brotherly love continue between the members of the body of Christ. Love should continue in the church. The word translated love here is Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. It's like the U.S. city, Philadelphia, which is called the city of brotherly love. And certainly the church should be a place of brotherly love. It should be a place where that should continue. So let brotherly love continue. Now verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So angels appeared in the Old Testament in the form of men and were guests of some Old Testament saints like Abraham and Sarah, for instance. We should also be hospitable to strangers within the restraints of common sense. Obviously, you don't want to host an axe murderer or something like that. Some strangers are angels unawares. Angel is also translated messenger in the Bible. And indeed, some have entertained preachers or messengers unawares. When Spurgeon went into the Little Methodist Chapel on a snowy Sunday morning in London, little did the man who preached know who he was preaching to. He preached, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth," and young Charles Spurgeon got saved by looking unto Jesus in faith. But the man who preached didn't know that he was preaching to the future Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the prince of preachers. And you never know if you host a missionary or you pay for a stranger's meal, if one day they may be mightily used of God. So be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So the writer of Hebrews had been in jail, and there are many Christians jailed around the world right now, and just as there were then. And we must remember our brothers and sisters who are in bonds and pray for them. We must also remember brothers and sisters who are suffering in other ways. Not everyone has it good. Sympathize with those who are suffering and pray for them as you would pray for yourself if the suffering were in your own body. We're all in the spiritual body of Christ. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Sex is for marriage. God is opposed to sexual relations outside of the bond of marriage, and He will judge it. It's a statistical fact that people who live together before marriage have a higher rate of divorce when they get married than people who do not live together before marriage. God's way always makes sense to God and should be accepted by us, even if it doesn't make sense to us. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And a lot of young people today think, "Oh, I'm going to live with this person, and we're going to try it out and see if it works first." But that's not God's way. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So verse 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So let your way of life be without covetousness, and be content with what you have, because Christ will never leave you. If we have Christ, we have all we need. You know, one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not covet." And a lot of us live our whole lives in covetousness, wanting somebody else's car, wanting somebody else's house, wanting somebody else's wife, somebody else's dog even. I mean, we covet things. And we can't do that. We can't do that. We've got to live our lives without covetousness. Let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Because we have Christ. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if we have Christ, we have it all. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now this goes with verse 5. Because Christ will never leave or forsake, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Then the Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So we are to keep in mind our pastors and preachers, those who have the rule over us. While everyone is equal in Christ, churches must have leaders. There are pastors and deacons, and some churches also have elders as a separate office. God is not for anarchy. Not everyone is supposed to preach. Not everyone is supposed to be a deacon. And not everyone is supposed to lead. Not everyone is supposed to make their own decisions and lead the church in 500 different ways, doctrinally and spiritually. That's confusion. You have to have biblical leadership in place, and we are to remember those who have taught us the Word of God, and we're to follow the example of their faith, considering the end of their way of life, which leads us to the next verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So the end of the faith of our spiritual leaders is Christ. And that's the end of every believer's faith, the changeless Christ. Our goal is Christ. And at the end, there's Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything may change in your life. Everything may go away. Circumstances may change. Health may change. 1,000 things may change, but Jesus Christ forever remains the same. He is the changeless Christ. The Bible says in verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's a good warning for the church today. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So the diverse and strange doctrines are man-made religious rules, like don't eat certain things. Rather, we should serve God in grace. A lot of people think that too much grace gives people license to sin, but that kind of grace is not really grace at all. But rather, grace teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and that we should live for Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that. So we serve God better not with man-made rules, but with grace, the leadership of the Spirit, and the Word of God. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. So the altar in this verse refers to Jesus Christ himself. While the Old Testament priest had a right to eat of some of the sacrifices that were offered on the altar, those now who refused to embrace Christ, but rather continue in the ceremonial law, have no right to partake of Christ in any spiritual way. Those who reject Christ cannot partake of Christ in a spiritual way, even if they are priests serving at the altar. Christ is the altar of the New Testament. Look at what Paul says in the book of Galatians. He says, Galatians 5:2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So Paul says that if you want to be saved by keeping the law, then Christ will be no profit to you at all. You cannot have Christ plus the law. You must have Christ or the law. Salvation is not grace plus works. The Bible says it either has to be works or it has to be grace, but it cannot be a combination of both. Romans 11:6, the Apostle Paul said, "And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if by works, if of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Work is one thing, grace is another. That's why man cannot participate in salvation. Some of the Jews asked Jesus, "What must we do to work the work of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." And the truth of the matter is, faith is a work of God in our hearts. And we must believe in Christ, but we can't do any kind of works. It's got to be totally by the grace of God, with no human intervention, no human works, or it's got to be all of works, but it can't be a combination of both. So, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." And so, going back to that verse, we have an altar, or Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Those that served the law, that want to be saved by works, that want to go the works route, they have no right to partake of Christ. If you're going to partake of Christ, you have to repent, and you have to see Jesus and recognize that he's the only way of salvation. It can't be a combination of faith and works. Now, Hebrews 13:11, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." Now, this is a reference to the bull and goat sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. The bodies of these animals were burned outside the camp of the children of Israel. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." So these sacrifices on the Day of Atonement were types of Christ, who also suffered and died outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem. Golgotha's hill, where the cross was outside of the city gate of Jerusalem. "Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp." Let's go outside the camp unto Christ, bearing his reproach. So we also have to suffer reproach for Christ by coming outside of sinful society. The Hebrew believers were being tempted to compromise so that they would be accepted by their friends and families. They were being tempted to compromise their faith in Christ and return to the law. But the writer of Hebrews warns that we must go outside of the camp to a place of reproach. 2 Timothy 3:12, the Bible says, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So if you live right, you're going to suffer persecution. That's just the way it is. Now, persecution in the United States may not be the same as persecution in a Muslim-controlled country in the Middle East. But we will still suffer persecution. If you live right and you live for Christ, people are going to talk about you and say things about you. Now, don't be rude to people. Some Christians think it's their duty to be rude and to be cruel and hurtful to people. And that's not what this is talking about. Going forth outside the camp and bearing his reproach is just being separated unto the Lord, and that means that we don't do certain things or participate in certain things. But it doesn't mean we have to have a nasty attitude about it either. We'll be persecuted regardless. For here, the Bible says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So everything changes here. Everything changes. But we seek a city that continues and will never grow old. It seems foolish then to waste our lives on temporary things of this earth that don't matter. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15, the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So praise is a sacrifice given by our lips when we give thanks to his name. It is especially a sacrifice when we're suffering and do not feel like praising God. But we should still offer this sacrifice. You may have heard the story of Corrie ten Boom, who in World War II was in a concentration camp, and she later became a missionary. She was imprisoned in this concentration camp with her sister during World War II. And she wrote about thanking God for the fleas. Thanking God for the fleas. Her barracks were so nasty and infested with lice and fleas that the Nazi guards would not enter them. And because of this, she and her sister were able to pray and hold Bible studies uninterrupted. So her sister had read in the Bible that we should give thanks for everything, and she was wondering how they could possibly give thanks for the fleas, and then the guards refused to come in because of the fleas, and so they were able to hold their Bible studies uninterrupted. So she learned to thank God for the fleas that he had sent. So sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise God and give thanks to him. But God is pleased with this kind of praise. In verse 16, the Word of God says, But to do good, remember to do good, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now this talks about other kinds of sacrifices, not just sacrifices of praise, but other kinds of sacrifices. The word communicate in this verse does not mean to have a conversation, but rather communicating in the sense of joint participation and sharing with the less fortunate. God is pleased with such financial and material sacrifices. Also, we carry out this type of communication when we give to missions and to missionaries and preachers who visit our church. In Philippians 4:15, the Apostle Paul said, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So they were the only church that shared in his needs of giving and receiving. They were the only ones that did that. So, to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. So there it is again. We've already had this in verse 7. But again he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So spiritual leaders watch for your souls. They keep a lookout for dangers that may arise. And that's why it's so grievous to the pastor who is trained in theology when members of the church come under the influence of false doctrine and the pastor warns against it and the members ignore the pastor's warnings and think he's being overbearing or foolish. That's very troubling to a pastor. Every shepherd must give account for his flock to the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors want to watch over church members' souls with joy, not with grief. Some people constantly grieve the pastor, causing trouble attacking his family, attacking him. And it's strange that such people feel more comfortable staying in church and being a thorn in the side of the pastor than leaving and going somewhere where they're happy. But the Bible says it's unprofitable to you when the pastor's unhappy. If a pastor is joyful and he's preaching the word joyfully and people are receiving sound doctrine, then it's an easier service. If the pastor comes in every Sunday and he's being attacked by church members and looking around, paranoid, waiting for the next shoe to drop, seeing what's going to happen next, his preaching will be harsh and defensive. And that's not good for anyone. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Then the Bible says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And John Gill says, in all things living to will, willing to live honestly, not only as men, but as ministers, faithfully dispensing the word of truth without any regard to the favor or frowns of men, as good stewards of the mysteries of God. So we need to pray for God's ministers. I hope that you'll pray for me, and we pray for you, and we pray for all those who are preaching the word of God faithfully. Because it's hard to keep a good conscience for people that aren't preachers, let alone preachers. But we have to keep a good conscience in all things and live honestly. And that doesn't just mean in our social dealings and business dealings, but that means that we need to live honestly as far as the Word of God goes. We have to deal honestly with the Bible. The Bible says, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So he begs for them to pray for him. Whoever the author of Hebrews is, he begs for them to pray for him. In chapter 10 and verse 34, the writer of Hebrews says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So the writer of Hebrews had been in jail. He had been locked up. And he'd faced other obstacles. And he wanted to be restored to them sooner rather than later. Something had hindered him from being with them. Maybe he'd spent longer in jail than he expected. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And we're going to close on verse 19. We'll come back and get the last few verses next week. But I want to, just as the writer of Hebrews beseeched the Hebrew Christians to pray for him, I want to beseech you to pray for ministers today. I beseech you rather to do this that I may be restored to you the sooner. There are ministers all over the world who are locked up in jail, who are suffering persecution, and who want to be with their flocks. And there are ministers all over the world right now who cannot be with their flocks in person just because of the coronavirus and restrictions. And so, I want us to all pray, in closing, pray for ministers who are separated from their flocks today. And they want to be with them sooner rather than later. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for preachers around the world today. And I do pray that those who faithfully preach the word and who are away from their flocks and want to be with their churches, I pray that you would take this virus away, that you would allow in-person services to resume soon for those that are in jail or those that are under persecution. I pray that you would defeat the plans of Satan, and I pray that you would allow them to come to their church. We know that Satan would hinder them, but we pray that you would give them safe passage to be able to reach their churches and to be able to preach the Word of God and to minister as you've called them to do. I pray for myself. I pray that you'd bless me and help me. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.